Erectile dysfunction, or ED, affects more than 30 million men. It can wreak havoc on a man's self-esteem, put a damper on romance and relationships. Many turn to prescription drugs, herbal remedies, penile injections, and even implants for the answer. Some of those come with serious side effects. Today we delve into the topic with Daniel Canfield, author of Hacking the ED Code. This just might be the hardest interview of my career. Let's hope so. And it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman. Changing lives just for the health of it.
We talk about a topic that affects over 30 million men, ED, erectile dysfunction. Joining us to talk about the causes and effective treatment options is author of the upcoming book, Hacking the ED Code. He's also host of a popular podcast, Broken Boner Radio, which offers an enlightening and entertaining discussion on ED. Welcome to the show, Daniel Canfield.
Dr. Friedman, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. You know, not many men would come here and talk about their erectile dysfunction, so most would be embarrassed and keep it a secret, but you've become the poster child of the topic, and you choose to help others with the condition. So kudos to you, Daniel.
Thank you. Now, I feel very humbled and honored to do that for the millions of men out there.
Well, I mean, it's a great thing. You know, and from my understanding, you pretty much tried everything out there, so you're the expert. And I believe in 2012, you opted for a penile implant. But take us through the process.
Well, first, to give a little background on my history, I was actually born with erectile dysfunction. The sexual medicine researchers have begun to find that there are certain types of erectile dysfunction maladies that can be handed down genetically. I have three sons. My oldest has the exact same condition I do, which is called corporeal erectile tissue fibrosis. And I was born with it. He was born with it. In talking to my father, who's now 90, he's way beyond being able to be tested. But when I shared with him my stories, he reflected back on his, he'd been with my mother his whole life sexually. So he didn't know any different. And back then, in the great generation, they didn't even have pornography to, as a reference point.
Right.
So there's three generations right there of this particular condition having been passed down genetically. So if anybody can speak to ED, it's me, because I've lived with it my entire life. In fact, I joke with people that I think I have a PhD in ED. If somebody can talk about this topic, it would be me.
And people say, education? No, ED. And then you have to say what it is, and you watch the face. They go, oh. But I guess
death, taxes and erectile dysfunction.
There you go. So you pretty much, so you didn't know you were born with it, correct? I mean, originally, so you tried other things not knowing, and then you were eventually diagnosed and said, look, this is kind of a serious issue that's not helped through, I guess, the blue pills or the injections and so forth, which I believe you tried pretty much everything, didn't you not?
Yeah, well, roughly the first 20 years of my life of dealing with it, again, you know, in my 20s, that was back pre-Viagra days. ED, quote-unquote, wasn't even talked about as a thing. So I was struggling with being intimate and not being able to have sufficient erections. It's not that I never could have an erection, but it was always a challenge, and I would get a partial one or I would lose it. Men out there, you know what I'm talking about. But back then, I had no idea that it even had a name. It wasn't until Viagra came out and it started to get some publicity that I went, oh, okay. And now at least I have a name for what I think I have, but I was guessing. I was totally, totally guessing.
Right.
And it was about 10 years ago that I found Dr. Irwin Goldstein from this San Diego Sexual Medicine Clinic. He's one of the leaders in the sexual medicine arena. And he put me through a complete assessment, the proper assessment. I saw a sexual therapist, psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Dr. Goldstein did a biological test on me. He did a Doppler scan, or whatever you call it, on my plumbing, on my penis. Mm-hmm. And then I sat with a pelvic floor specialist that went through the musculoskeletal part of me to assess what's really causing my issue.
And so he's the one that did the penile implant for you, correct? Is it the same doctor?
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Now, I know we got men out there, they're curious when you have a surgical penile implant? Is it a prosthesis? Is it a balloon implanted? Is there a handheld pump, or do they have an advanced version creating a Wi-Fi connection erection?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I told Dr. Goldstein I'm first in line. The folks at Coloplast who make my implant, they're a part of my platform too. And I said, I'm first in line when you get the FOB activated model. No,
when you share this, please don't inflate the truth, pun intended here.
Well, my implant is the type that pumps. It pumps saline solution. It's all internal. If someone were to see me in the locker room taking a shower, I look as normal as every other man. Everything's internal. There's a pump, a little round pump that hangs between my testicles internally, and that's what I pump up with. And it transfers solution from the bladder that's placed up inside my abdomen to the two cylinders that have replaced the tissue that's in the sides of my penis.
So is it similar to your pump like on a shoe, on a tennis shoe? Remember the air?
Not unlike that, surprisingly.
So it's
except
similar.
It's not down on the tongue of my tennis shoe. It's up between my testicles.
Yeah, what would happen? I could see it now. You're running, jogging, and ooh, you come back. Whoa, what got into you there? I went for a jog.
It's funny you mention that because I work out a lot, and if I sit on a workout bench and do like overhead presses, I've actually started, because it puts pressure on where the pump is, and I've actually kind of semi-inflated myself at the gym.
Oh,
so
no.
I jump off and go deflate myself.
All the ladies walking by like, you perv. No. It was the weights that got you.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would guess
to look at me, I look completely normal. It's you'd never know I had an implant by looking at me.
Wow. So I guess going the invasive route of surgery would be the last resort after trying everything conservative, and that leaves a plethora of remedies from horny goat weed herbal supplements, Viagra, Cialis, to injection. What are the pros and cons of some of these? I'm sure you've heard it all.
Well, you know, it's I have tried a lot of things, and there's a lot of things I didn't try, like the snake oil kind of stuff. I mean, you know, one of the things that keeps men from facing up to the possibility that they have erectile dysfunction, you know, number one is the fear. You're just flat out scared to death. Something's not working right. They think it's the death sentence to their sex life,
right?
Which I'm here to confess it's not. It doesn't have to be. But then one of the biggest ones is confusion, because there is so much stuff out there. You can't flip a page of a men's magazine without seeing an ad about, you know, make your penis bigger, solve your erectile dysfunction problems with this herb, and so forth and so on. And depending upon what's wrong with you, you know, what's malfunctioning, some of that stuff absolutely will not work. And that was the beauty of getting the proper assessment, is I found out from Dr. Goldstein exactly what I had. And knowing that in and of itself was so liberating for me as a male, because it's kind of like getting diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
It's not great news. Mm-hmm. But if you know what the cancer is, where it's located, the doctor then says, okay, here's the process of care. Here's how we're going to attack it. Now, the good thing with ED, in most cases, it's not something that's going to kill you in the end, like cancer could.
Right.
But just knowing what was really the issue, and that I was with a correct professional who could give me the right process of care, and that started for me, and I had already been taking Viagra. So I did do Viagra for a period of time. But my condition, the scarring tissue, gets worse with age. And Viagra stopped working. Now, I feel horrible for men who just, you know, go out and they see their general practitioner, and God bless them, but general practitioners are not well equipped to deal with erectile dysfunction and sexual dysfunction issues. It's like going to your general practitioner for heart disease.
Right.
They usually refer you to a specialist. And so I was on Viagra, but it slowed down. And I can imagine men who just started taking Viagra, you know, either it didn't work from the beginning, or it did work for a while, and now it's decreasing, and they're sitting there with this shattering mind matter going on, like, what now is wrong with me?
Right.
And having a proper assessment and proper care, I knew exactly what my course of care was going to be. I knew Viagra was going to stop working. And so Dr. Goldstein switched me to injections. Yes, you stick a needle in the side of your penis, give yourself an injection.
For some reason, I just started talking really high. My voice went up thinking about it.
Well, hey, I'm a needle phobe. I cannot watch a medical show on TV and where they're putting an IV in a person's arm. I have to turn my head. I can watch open heart surgery and eat a bowl of spaghetti and it doesn't affect me on TV. But if a needle goes towards a vein, I have to turn my head. So now I'm being told.
Yeah. And that's
your next
a vein.
Course of action is sticking a needle in your penis. But I got over it. You know, we as men, as you well know, doctor, we'll do almost anything to preserve our sex life. And so that was my next, you know, process of care. I also knew that that was eventually going to stop working. And at the end of that treatment was what Dr. Goldstein refers to as the golden egg, and that's getting a penile implant. Because I essentially now am bionic.
Right. So basically, reiterating, is penile implant last? They should go least invasive, least expensive. If that fails, or they have some type of genetic problem, move on to more aggressive. Which is kind of what you did. I don't want guys to hear this and go, "Oh, I'm going to go get an implant." This sounds, you know, hey, just pump it up and let's go, baby.
Well, ironically, you know, it's funny. Because I've been suffering this my whole life, and my wife says I'm a seeker. I'm one of those men that always try to find answers to things.
Right.
I started searching the internet. I had heard somewhere about a penile implant, didn't know anything about it. And I stumbled across this video of an actual surgery. Ironically, it was this surgery was being performed by Dr. Goldstein. And when I got done watching it, one, I went, wow, that's not as invasive as I thought. And two, Dr. Goldstein's right here in San Diego. And it was crazy. I'm like, this is. So I made an appointment to go see Dr. Goldstein. And I walked into him and I said, I want a penile implant. And he says, well, slow down, cowboy. Let's back you up a little bit. Let's do the full assessment and see where you're at with erectile dysfunction. And so he actually told me, no, you're not ready for the, you know, let's do these other things first. You're not there yet. If the injections work, let's do the injections. Because he said there's no turning back from the penile implant. Like now that I have one, I don't know why I'd ever not want one. But you're right. I mean, men, if they go to the proper physician, and that's one of the things I preach, you know, in my teachings is get the proper assessment. And there's five top questions you should ask any physician you go see that will position who they are and what their process of care is, what their assessment process is. And it guards you against guys who will say, oh, yeah, you want an implant? Let's go. Let's schedule the surgery tomorrow. When, in fact, you may be way away from having to have a surgery. Testosterone. Mm-hmm. Hormones are a big part of, you know, a man's, as we age, you know, our testosterone levels drop. When Dr. Goldstein did my blood work as part of the biological assessment, my testosterone levels were way below normal. So the first thing he did was put me on testosterone injections. And I viscerally began to feel much more sexual. My libido was much higher. Didn't help with my erections because that was a biological scarring tissue in my penis. That was, you know, so, but viscerally, I was much more sexual, felt more sexual.
Right. Tell me your correlation. So you know, this is a good point. You know, the low testosterone fad is so popular now. There's actually places popping up, clinics and people going in and getting their shots. But what's your opinion on low T and its correlation to ED? Now, I have patients who have low testosterone on blood tests, and they have sex all the time.
Right.
So it's not always... It's not always that. So, I mean, how do they tell? What's your opinion on should they try that first?
No, well, testosterone in T clinics, see, that's the funny thing in this industry now. Sexual medicine is still in its infancy, believe it or not. There's only a handful of hospitals in the nation that have a sexual medicine department. There's like two or three clinics in the country that are sexual medicine clinics, like Dr. Goldstein's at San Diego Sexual Medicine. That's their specialty. And they work with women, men, all sorts of dysfunctions, not just erectile dysfunction. But there's a lot of, it's such a popular topic now, there's a lot of businesses popping up that are kind of grabbing the low fruit, like the T clinic. There's nothing wrong with T clinics as long as you're getting a proper assessment. But those, some of these, you go in and they're like, okay, yep, your testosterone levels are low here. You know, here's your injections. And they charge sometimes astronomically high prices. For the testosterone. And they're not necessarily, in my opinion, getting the best care. There's also erectile dysfunction clinics popping up all over the place. So
no pun intended there. Popping back all over. I caught you.
Yes, you did. But that adds to men's confusion. So part of my passion in life and purpose in life now is, since I've gone through all of this, is to help men weed through the process, get over their fear, learn how to have that inner dialogue. A lot of erectile dysfunction, especially when it comes to your partners, is all about communication. But the communication has to start first with yourself. Right. It's that good cop, bad cop on either shoulder, the good angel, the bad angel. We all know what I'm talking about. We all have those inner dialogues. And men have to be able to step up and go, okay, crap, something's really going on down here. I need to face up to this. And that's part of what I try and help men do with some of my teachings. That's I work a lot with private clients on this that want to work one-on-one. And that's one of the first things that we work through.
Let me ask you, I know with ED pills like Cialis, Viagra, there's still some negatives, not just the side effects, but even if they work, you have to take them an hour before. You know, you can't eat fattening foods the day of, or they won't work. Spontaneity is ruined. But with a penile implant, you can have sex pretty much whenever you want, how many times you want. This brings up a relevant question. What about females that aren't interested in having sex anymore or as often, those females after menopause that maybe want their man to pause?
Well, it's good that you bring that up. I've been married 20 years to my beautiful wife, Stacy. And when I went in, when it was finally time to talk about the implant because the penile injection stopped working, Stacy had to come in and meet with Dr. Rose Hartzell at Dr. Goldstein's office. She's the sexual therapist, and she's a licensed family counselor. And we sat with her together. And one of the first questions she asked Stacy was, are you ready for your man to be able to have sex anytime he wants? And I sat back and kind of laughed, like, what woman wouldn't want that? And she said, Dr. Hartzell said, no, there are a lot of women that don't want this. They're not ready. Like you said, they're going through menopause or, they've got their own sexual issues and they don't want a hyperactive man. Or they're going to be afraid that now that he's so functional, after not being functional for a while, he's going to go out and just, cheat like crazy, have a wild time with his new toy, like taking the new car out for a spin. So that's a very deep concern that again, with the proper care under the proper doctors, that's going to be addressed with your partners.
Yeah, that's important. A lot of men don't realize they're like thinking, what? What would I have to ask her? But, ED has basically a lot of different levels. It doesn't just hurt a man's self-esteem. It can affect females who also, on another side of the coin, who want to have sex, and they say, I'm a failure. He's not getting aroused. Mentally, they feel self-loathing. And you said something on one of your podcasts that was rather profound. You said there's a big distinction between arousal and erection. Just because a man can't get an erection doesn't mean he's not aroused by his partner. Now, women seem to use erections as a gauge point to their man's interest, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, I call it the women's standing proof that they've done their job sexually.
Right.
We have an erection. The woman's like, yes, he finds me attractive. My skills are really good. On the backside of that, if the man doesn't get an erection, they go into this mental collapse, emotional collapse and self-esteem collapse that, oh my God, what's wrong with me? He doesn't think I'm pretty enough. Or if you've been married, it's like, oh, he doesn't find me attractive anymore. He's probably cheating on me. It becomes systemic. It goes to the head, and then there's all sorts of psychological problems to deal with. I call it ED can be the silent killer of relationships. And one of the things I've realized, again in my past, I was in my 20s once with erectile dysfunction, and I told women in conferences that I've spoken at that there's probably more women affected by ED than men.
Right.
And these women are like, what? Explain that, because I'll be honest, I've never been with a man that didn't get an erection. I'm not bragging, but that's never happened to me. I said, well, I was in my 20s once, and let's say you and I met, the young lady and I met at a conference or a bar or whatever, and that chemistry, the flirty thing starts. I said, at some point in that conversation or in that dialogue that might last even a couple of hours, I eventually walked away. Didn't get her phone number. Just in the height of it going really, really well as meeting somebody for the first time, I literally headed for the door. And I looked these women in the face and I said, that was my erectile dysfunction affecting you, and you never knew it. And most women, I can see it in their eyes. They're going through the index of situations they've had in their lifetime where that's happened to them.
Right.
And sadly, a lot of women are left, again, feeling hurt. What did they do wrong? Or that guy's an asshole.
Right.
He's probably married. No, I just had erectile dysfunction, and I didn't want this to go any further because it was going to get embarrassing for both of us.
Yeah.
So I look at the statistics. If there's 30 million men that are affected, and every man I've talked to, interviewed, my private clients that I coach, have all had the same situation multiple times where we've walked away from relationship or getting to know each other situations simply because of the fear of our ED. So if there's 30 million men out there, I mean, I can count maybe 20 different times that I can vaguely remember, it was a long time ago, where I walked away from situations like that.
Right. Yeah, one thing I want to bring up is sometimes ED is the result of a side effect of medication you're on. I had a patient a couple weeks ago suffered from ED, told me, found out it was his blood pressure meds. Doc changed it to another, and he rose to the occasion. Simple, but he'd been suffering for years, and it was something just by tweaking his prescription.
Yeah.
You know,
it can be that simple.
That's
but as men, we're taught to isolate, and we're just societized that, you know, we hold everything in, we don't talk about things, even to ourselves, and we might have a conversation with ourselves, but then we lack the motivation to do anything about it. And some of the remedies can be so simple.
Yeah, some could be deeper, like psychological. Maybe the man was sexually abused as a child or grew up being taught sex was evil. He might have some mental issues, which is good that you said you went to someone who addressed that part of it, because it could all be in the other head. Pun intended.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I mean, there's so many, like I say, layers of onion to this. And, you know, some people even say the rise in ED, or should I say the lack of rise in ED, is because of the EMF waves emitted by cell phones, which most men keep right next to their testicles. Have you heard that one? That's a big theory.
Yeah.
Because of that.
It could be.
So, I mean, there's so many different layers. But, you know, so if someone has issues of ED, what should they do first? What do you recommend? Do they see their family doctor? Do they go to a specialist? And what kind of specialist? Do they try natural methods? What should our listeners do first?
Well, I preach the actual process of care that is the sexual medicine industry's, you know, get the proper assessment. And what does a proper assessment mean? Typically, your general practitioner, my general practitioner years ago when I was suffering with this and Viagra came out, I mentioned I was having erectile dysfunction. So he wrote me a script for Viagra and not another word was spoken. There was no assessment at all, right, other than I just said I'm having issues. So it's getting the proper assessment, finding the proper physicians and clinics that do that type of assessment. It's typically not your general practitioner. And again, they can find help on my website at danielcanfield.com. My podcast talk about it. That's what I'm here for, is to create a foundation for men to feel safe, to get over their fears, and seek the proper help. We have a circle of excellence, doctors all around the country who are in the sexual medicine field, and they do the proper assessment.
Great.
So that's number one, is getting there.
Right. And I know you got a new book coming out, Hacking the ED Code. Will it cover the aspects of the condition from physical, emotional, and maybe some of the options available?
Yeah. In my Hack the ED Code, I introduce people. I've created this three-headed, gnarly-looking dragon. Dragon, because there's basically three main things or categories of things that cause erectile dysfunction. They're either biological in nature, which is what I have. Biological meaning I had scarring tissue in my penis. I also, my hormones, my testosterone levels were low. That's also a biological cause. Then there's the psychosocial, which again, you mentioned, you know, people are sexually abused, or maybe they were raised in a religion that, you know, sex is, you know, looked upon very differently than most of us. Or there's the musculoskeletal. I have a client that I work with that was having trouble getting erections, and he had a really bad hip, and his hip hurt him so bad during sex with his wife that it kept him from getting an erection. Well, he finally had a hip replacement, and that's all it took. Everything else was perfectly fine.
Isn't that amazing? Who would have thought that? I mean, something that simple.
Exactly.
And something you would never think
of. Exactly. I was able to guide him to the right care. You know, that's my whole purpose, is to get men on the right track. I'm not a doctor, but I can facilitate my journey, and that's what Hack the ED Code about. It chronicles my journey of working through all of this and getting the proper assessments, doing the proper process of care. And it talks to the deeper issues of our masculinity. You know, why is so much emphasis put on our erections? I've created a thing called the theory of erectivity, which basically is kind of like an Einsteinian formula, but it basically says 100% of the time, if all these hot, sexy, arousing type variables are present, you know, a partner that you're attracted to, maybe some alcohol, the right music, 100% of the time you're supposed to have an erection. That's what most of us believe or have been taught. Now, obviously, we know that's not true. But what happens when the erection doesn't happen, both in your partner and in your head? What's going on? So I kind of illustrate, you know, all this stuff that happens that's so detrimental to not just the moment, but systemically, it gets to a point where all of a sudden now you've got relationship problems. Now you've got self-worth issues.
Right.
I think so this book speaks to all of that too.
The book would be great for females and men to read. I believe it affects both evenly. So this would be a book for
both. I have found that my work is just as important to the women. Again, they need to learn these things too. I have so many women that write into my website or call in on the podcast. And a lot of them are women that are like, yeah, I can't get my husband to do anything about this. It's the white elephant in the room, the limp white elephant.
Yeah.
But he won't do anything about it, and that's really frustrating.
Right. And the minute we have left, tell us about the podcast channel. I know that I listened to a few of them. Very informative. You interview experts, and you had your wife on there. It's just very laid back, and I think it's a great, great program. So tell us, how can people find that?
It's at brokenbonerradio.com, or you can go to my website, danielcampbell.com, and there's a banner to get to it there. If anybody knows anything about me, I'm very transparent and very jovial, and it's sometimes irreverent about sexual topics. But I want to shatter the glass ceiling on how we approach this topic, and it doesn't have to be so scary. Men can face up to it if they're given the proper guidance, and that's kind of what I want to do for men.
You use a lot of analogies, shatter the ceiling. I'm getting these visuals as you talk. I don't even know if you mean these puns, but they're just from the topic. Shatter the ceiling. Guys would say, yeah, baby, that's my goal.
You know, Dr. Freeman, honestly, I feel ED should be as comfortably talked about as cancer or heart disease.
True.
But it just isn't. And so I'm here to say, hey, people, follow me. This is how we can talk about this. We can have fun about it. I'm also releasing my Modern Masculine Monthly ED edition, which is basically me giving video lessons. You get to see me live, and not live, but I'm talking, helping men go and women go through all these issues. And that's going to be available on my website. It'll be there on my sidebar of my podcast and all that.
That's great.
But it's basically, you know, my private clients pay me thousands of dollars, you know, to work with them individually. And I wanted to bring something that was more affordable and could reach more people. So I'm offering this online course for less than a case of beer a month.
Fantastic. Well, fantastic. Great information. Thanks so much for being on the show. Just as I had hoped, this has been the hardest interview I've ever had on the show. So thank you for that. But I think it will help a lot of men who suffer privately and afraid to ask for help. So to learn more, folks, about this topic, the Broken Boner podcast library and upcoming book, Hacking the ED Code, go to danielcanfield.com. Stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.